look in Ephesians.
Let's look in Ephesians today, and we're continuing studying in that. And we're in the second chapter today. Second chapter of Ephesians is good to have Evangelist Watson out today to do the group and the rules of the group. Praise God for you. Is school going okay?
Amen.
Doing all right?
Thank you, Lord.
Ephesians. All the time.
Yes, he is.
The book of Ephesians is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, from Rome, about 69 A.D. I'm always sucking on stuff to keep my mouth open dry. And in it, we find out, let's look at it from this. In all the letters that Paul writes to the churches, especially to the Gentile churches, since Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles as opposed to the Jews, and then we all know the Jewish believers were all sons and daughters of Abraham directly in lineage, and they were God's chosen people because they were supposed to preach the gospel to the whole world and show the whole world who the true God is. They had this. And if they had really taken advantage of it, which they should have done, because God really uses the Jews in mighty signs and wonders. And in the Word of God, every miracle and every all the miracles and things that God wrought in the Bible, they're all wrought by Jewish believers. And all the letters, all the books in the Bible that are written, all the letters that are written by Jewish believers. Because God had given them the covenant and the gospel.
Yes.
Now, we read in Galatians and we find out that all those who have the Holy Spirit are sons of Abraham. So in the covenant that God gave them, we have.
Yes.
So someone can say to me sometimes when we're reading about the blessings of God, especially in the Old Testament, they'll say, well, that's just to the Jewish believers. No, that's to everyone who is a descendant or who is following out the lineage of Abraham. And we have been grafted into that by the spirit of adoption by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul talks about something that all of us know about. In Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1, he writes, he says, "And you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And the word quickened, when he says quickened here, it's referring to being brought alive, brought alive. Mm-hmm. It's referring to be brought alive. Who was dead. And then I have to start using my board. To be dead means to be separated. To be dead to anything means to be separated. And the Bible refers to three types of death. Physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. Spiritual death, that refers to being separated from God. We're not physically dead. That's separation of the body and soul from body from the soul and the spirit. But we were separated from God because we weren't obeying God and didn't know God. And you had the quickened, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's simply saying that before the Lord saved us, we were sinners in the world like everyone else. And something we need to know, I was listening to Bishop Bruner last Sunday when he was preaching, and it's really good. The God of this world, of the earth, when Adam fell in the garden and Eve fell in the garden, he forfeited his rule. Adam in the beginning was given the power of God. Adam was told that he was supposed to be he was given the charge of ruling over the garden. He was supposed to dress and keep it. That means maintain it and keep it and stand guard over it. That's what Adam was supposed to do. In another place, Paul talks to us about keeping our calling and election sure. We're supposed to, when we come to God, we have to guard our salvation and nourish it because the devil's always trying to take it. His anger at God and his desire not only is not only to rule over God, but he also desires that none of us should be in God either. Do you know anybody who never wishes you well? You know, they like to watch you fall and like to watch you, you know, go through school. You always run into kids who always want to see you not do well. Are you the sort of person who doesn't like to see people do well? I know a lot of people who don't like to see people do well. And the devil is like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever want to see anybody do well. He's not funny. We spend too much time trying to make the devil be a nice guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing nice about the devil.
No.
And him is continually evil.
Yes.
And if you allow him to, he will destroy you.
Yes, he will.
Because his purpose is to kill as many as he can, destroy as many as he can, and to take as much of the glory of God away from the things that God gives as possible. And despite what people would like to think, it always amazes me how someone is able to, at the same time, not believe in God, but believe in power and witches and all these things.
Yeah.
If you can believe in any supernatural power, and by and large, most people do, you might not have the Holy Ghost, which you should have, but you might not have him, and you might not be serving the God of heaven, which you should serve, but almost everybody I know believes in the supernatural in one way or another.
Yes.
But since the devil can't seem to, and I say the devil, and talking about him because he is real and he is alive.
Yes, he is.
And I want to say this too. I heard someone preach one time that the devil was chained up in hell. He's not in hell at this particular time.
No.
He was cast down when we read in the Bible, but there's going to be a time, and I'll take you to it so you can read it, and then we'll go on from there. It's in Revelation. It's in the 19th chapter, and it talks about when the devil shall be chained. Revelation 20 and 1. And because if we're Bible scholars and we talk about what we're saying, you should be able to find anything you're preaching in the Word of God. And if you can't find it in the Word of God, then you ought not preach it. In Revelation 20, chapter 20 and verse 1, and he says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." These in Revelation are events that are going to happen. Everybody say, going to happen.
Going to happen.
Yes, this is what God showed John of things that are going to happen. And while we're saying that, make up your mind. There's nothing that John saw in Revelation that any one of us can change.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what God is going to do, and you cannot stop it.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we've gotten so arrogant, especially in the United States, we think we can move, we can stop God's plan. No, if all of us who are saved and sanctified for the Holy Ghost, we don't want to stop.
No,
that's right.
Oh, yeah. So in Revelation 20 and 1, he says, "And I saw an angel come down from where?
Heaven,
having a key of the bottomless pit," this refers to the lake of fire, "and a great chain in his hand.
Yeah.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is who?
The devil. Yes.
And Satan," in case you want to say, well, here says Satan and there says the devil. They're two people. No, they're the same person. He is a fallen angel and he is a real being.
Yes.
And bound him 1,000 years. If Satan was already, if he were already bound in hell, there wouldn't be no need for the angel to come bind him.
That's right.
That's number one. And then we'll go back to Ephesians. And then, you know, if you read your Bible, you find out that Satan is not bound, because when you read, well, we'll read one more. Let's go to Job. You gotta get us out of this. Gotta get to a point where you know what the Word of God says, and not just what people say it says. Job, and I think chapter 1, and then we'll go back to Ephesians. We'll be done with this little infomercial. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Job is the son of Issachar, which is the son of Jacob. He's a real person, not just a story that Moses made up. Job and verse number 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." The sons of God refers here to the angels.
Yes.
They hold a conference. They convene from time to time. And they get themselves They are instructed by God and given their charges and things they're supposed to do. And if you don't believe in angels in heaven, you should.
Yeah.
You'll be like the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. They didn't believe in anything. But the next time that you fumble for something in your lap in your car and you're driving, and when you look up, you could have crashed, could have ran over somebody. I've done it so many times. And it doesn't happen.
Yes.
And you don't run into anything, and you don't crash, and you know the next words should be out of your mouth should be thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
Because it isn't because of my great skills that I've never killed myself. My God, I've driven like a fool. I've been on the Autobahn driving as fast as I could. It was by the saving grace of God. The Lord kept me.
Yes.
And so many times when things would happen to you, angels who are not seen by us unless God wants us to see them. Angels who are not seen by us unless God wants us to see them.
Yes.
And then like in the case of Elijah and many others, then the Lord will open our eyes into the spirit, into that realm, and we're able to see them. But they are real. They are very much real.
Yes.
And don't get into the little thing of, you know, a thousand of them would fit on the head of a pin. That's not true. When you read in Genesis, you find out that when God came to speak to Abraham, two angels came with him. They looked just like men. But oftentimes, those of us, because of the grace of God, and this is where we are in Ephesians, and the mercy of God, any one of us could not have been here were it not for the grace of God, either moving by the Spirit and oftentimes by His angels, who has kept us out of many dangerous situations and plucked us out. And people say, well, how did you know, you were just lucky. Another few inches, you were God. I wasn't lucky.
No.
It's God.
Yes.
I don't need luck. I have God.
Amen.
And then that begs the point of, if you don't believe in the supernatural, why do you believe in luck?
Yes.
Isn't that beyond your power, too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in Ephesians, the first chapter, so when we look at Satan, we look at Ephesians, when he talks about the God of this world, at the time that Adam fell in the garden, as we were learning last Sunday with Pastor Bruno preaching, which we know, at the time that Adam fell in the garden, Satan was not supposed to be over this world when God recreated it, when he rebuilt it and brought Adam. Adam was supposed to be
over it. Yes, man.
But when Adam disobeyed God, and I like the way this is put, when Adam disobeyed God, and every one of us should know this too, God is a just and fair God. He's not like us.
Yes.
We have prejudices and biases, so that someone can do something, and depending on who they are and what they are to us, we may hold them accountable or we may not.
Yeah.
God is not so.
Yes.
God, a sin for you is a sin for me.
Yes.
Me being wrong is the same as you being wrong before God.
Yeah.
But I like God being this way, because God also says, if you will repent, God will forgive you, and if I will repent, God will forgive me.
Yes. Yes.
God is a just God.
God is a just
so when Adam fell, and you can say, well, the enormity of Adam falling in the garden simply because he ate from the fruit of the tree does not compare with Satan causing a third of heaven to fall. And you'll look at it and weigh it. Because that's how we weigh. That's how we weigh and judge crime and earth.
Yes.
We will say that this is not as bad as that or whatever. If you really looked at it, and you would ask the parents of a son or daughter who was slaughtered in the street or shot down, they don't want. It doesn't matter whether it was an accident or how they managed to. They're still dead.
Yes.
And in this regard, there's a price to pay. Mm-hmm. So when Adam sins in the garden by disobeying God, it's not on the scale of Satan, exalting himself against God or rebelling against God. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Rebelling against God. It's not in the same as Satan rebelling against God and causing a third of heaven to fall, but it is disobeying God nonetheless.
Yes, yes.
It is disobeying him nonetheless.
Yes.
Adam is just as, Adam is disobedient. Satan is rebellious. So what's the difference between the two? If I tell one of my children you can only have one piece of candy, and they get two, then they've been disobedient. If I tell my children that they can only have one piece of candy, and they don't get any, but they say to me, I don't see why you can tell me I can only have one piece of candy. I should be able to have as much candy as I want. That's rebellion.
Yes.
Disobedience means that I didn't do what you asked me to do. Rebellion means that you challenged my authority.
Yes.
So when Satan rebelled against God, it's like when we know God now and won't have God.
Yes.
It stops being just disobedience, then it becomes to some degree rebellion.
Yes.
Because you're saying that God doesn't have a place in your life, and He does.
Yes.
It's as if one of my children were to say to me, you can't tell me when to go to bed. Well, they'd only say it once. But you can see where it's not just disobedience. You can rebel and still obey.
Yes. That's true.
Because you can do what I ask you to do. And still in your mind, you're saying, you can't tell me what to do.
Yes.
And we do this.
Yes.
So then, that long discourse to let you know. So Satan became the god of this world because man obeyed him other than God.
Yes.
We obeyed him other than God. So we accepted him or yielded that position to him.
Yeah.
Because in Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans the 8th chapter or 6th chapter? 6th chapter, I'm sorry, Romans the 6th chapter. In Romans the 6th chapter, and Romans chapter 6. I'll read this in another. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. And it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Or in other words, when I read it, therefore don't let sin rule you.
Yes.
And cause you to do the things that sin would cause you to do. Sin that I'm referring to here is the power of sin. That someone would say, well, what do you mean sin's power? It is the power of sin that causes you to do things when you know they're wrong and you do them anyway.
Yes.
And you know better. You know better than to do them. But the desire that the power of sin gives causes you to disobey because you want to do it and you do it anyway. Now, in my life, you lived as long as I have. You've done a lot of things that you know you shouldn't have done.
Yes.
And many times, you know, by the grace of God, the Spirit speaking to us, even though it's, the Spirit doesn't speak to people not saved, the Spirit speaks to unsaved people all the time.
Yes.
How do you think you got here?
Yes.
And God will say to you, the Spirit will say to you, this is wrong. Say, well, no, I just heard that in my mind. Well, you heard it from your conscience, and God uses your conscience.
Yes.
When it's working right, when your conscience works right, it is supposed to tell you what is right and wrong in God.
Yes.
Not what morally is accepted or what's lawful, but it tells you what's right and wrong in God. When it works right. Now, by the ravages of sin, the conscience doesn't work like it's supposed to. But when we are renewed, God purges our conscience and gives us a fresh start. So that when, and this is a big issue of why when people are saved, they make such tremendous changes. And while they testify that the things I used to do, I don't do anymore.
Yes.
Because until your conscience was purged, you thought they were right. So he says in this, he says in this, don't let sin rule and reign in you. In another place, he says, let the peace of God rule, let the word of God abide.
Yes.
Don't let him rule your mortal body. Neither yield you your members. See right in the rest of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members to God as those who are alive from the dead and members as instruments of righteousness, but sin shall not have dominion over you. I want to go down to 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether in sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? When you start to obey sin, you become sin's servant.
Yes.
You belong to him. Yes. Getting back to Ephesians. So then when Adam allowed the devil to tell him to do something that God told him not to do, then Adam started serving him.
Yes.
When you allow yourself to start doing things that you know not to do, you become a servant to that.
Yes.
You also get the reward that's there. You get the recompense. You get what comes out of it. And sometimes we do those things, and even though the Lord will save us later on, there's some things that we cannot undo. So back to Ephesians. So he says to him, the God of this world, in times past, talking to the saints in Ephesus, he says, in times past, you were serving the God of this world. In other words, every time you disobeyed God, you served the devil, you served sin. Now, what I didn't get till I was much older in the Lord, I've learned to want God to always win. I've learned to want God. I want God to always win. Mm-hmm. And when you have the mind frame that you want to see God victorious all the time, this is why you would rather forgive someone than seek revenge.
All right.
Yeah.
Because you want God to be victorious.
Yes.
You want to see the Lord be victorious. You don't ever want the devil to win.
Yes.
You don't ever want to do anything where Satan has any victory.
Yes.
And every time you do something that's contrary to God, I want to have this mindset that every time you do something that's contrary to God, you are helping Satan win. Now we know in the end he's not going to win. He's not going to be victorious. But you have gotten on his side.
Yes.
It's like the song, I heard a long time ago. We don't sing a lot, but it's the song. Whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. Whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. I remember when Moses, after Korah, Dathan had rebelled, he told the children, he said, "Come on over on the Lord's side." Before the ground opened up and swallowed them up.
Yeah.
Lets me know that before God's final judgment for anybody, you have an opportunity to come on over on the Lord's side. So he says in this, in whom the God of this world, in verse 2, wherein in time past, in the past before the saints of Ephesus had received the word of God, they walked according to the prince of the power of the air, which is another name for Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we can say the spirit that still works in those people who don't obey God.
Yes.
Even for us who are saved and in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, we can allow the spirit of disobedience to influence us from time to time. And we do things we have no business doing.
Yes.
Say things that as a saved person we shouldn't say. We don't represent God as well as we should.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I almost say, I don't say this glibly, but to a great degree, because the saints of God from time to time misbehave, they cause a lot of people not to come to God too.
Yes.
Because we can be in God and be such a be the sort of person that nobody wants to be around either.
Yes.
And this is why Paul spends so much time in teaching them to love one another and be kind and to be friendly, because he knows that even though the Lord saved you, you know there's a lot about your disposition that does need to change.
Yes.
The church doesn't have anywhere near. Among us who are saved, the church has a great reputation. But to the outside world, churches just by and large don't have always great reputations.
No, they don't.
We are not as, our light is not as bright as it should be. We are not winning as many people as we should win. And he says to them, the spirit that now working into the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in 3, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, when I was born, since I was born in the flesh, born in sin.
Yeah.
Born in sin, because my father was a sinner. His father was born in sin, all the way back to Adam. So he says, in times past, we walked according to this. And he says, by nature, we were children of wrath. And we, when we were a sinner, you know, every person who comes out of sin, you have to wait until the right time But as you get older, you start you have a testimony of how God has changed your life. And what the Lord has done. You know, you have to wait on God before you, you know, are able to testify and tell people what you came out of.
Yeah.
But in God's own time, to the glory of God, somewhere along the line, the Lord will lead you to tell people, just like he did Apostle Paul, to tell people, hey, I haven't always been holy.
Yeah.
There was a time when I wasn't holy. I needed to have been, but I wasn't. And Paul makes this assertion to the saints at Ephesus. He's not trying to rub it in their face or just say to them, hey, you ain't always been saved. No, he's using it to the testament and the glory of God of how the Lord brought them out, because there was a time when they were not in God.
Yeah, yes.
Ilyasha, we were praying for her. She passed yesterday, around about noon, I guess, whenever I got the word. And I want everybody to know, she was in the Lord, so we rejoice for her being in heaven. But the point is when people die, the issue of where they will spend eternity is resolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether you will go to heaven or whether you will go to hell, when you die, that issue is settled.
Settled, yes.
That's a done deal.
That's right.
If you have lived godly into the Lord, and then you go into heaven. If you have not, then you go to hell. That's a done deal.
Yes.
You have all the time when you're alive to make that choice, and it is my choice. You can never say, well, you know, it's the devil's choice. It isn't, because Christ on the cross of Calvary defeated the power of Satan and sin and death.
Yes.
So he makes the statement to them that they, you know, in times past, even as others, bore. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And look at this word, grace. By grace are you saved. We could probably change by to because of God's grace and the mercy that God gives, God and his great mercy towards us, which is also something we don't know a lot about, because we are usually, we are creatures of reciprocity. We reciprocate. If you love me, I'll love you back. If you do good things to me, I'll do good things for you. If you do this, I'll do that. But we did nothing for God to impart his grace to us.
Yes.
We must never get to the point where we ever think that God owes us anything. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. Mm-hmm. I owe him everything. But everything I've received from God is because God chose to give it to me.
Yes.
It was an offer that he laid on the table, and one that I accepted. And his grace and his mercy are there for everyone who will receive them. But it's an invitation, but it is an invitation that you must respond to.
Yes.
It isn't one where, and this is the difference between God's grace and the devil and Satan. God's grace is available for all who will receive it.
Yes.
God is not going to drag you to heaven.
Yes, that's right.
You have to make it, you have to choose his grace and his mercy. It's there for you. And it isn't because I was born into the right family. I think that sometimes people think that if your mom was a preacher, your dad was a preacher and everything, you're okay. No, they can be saved and sanctified full of the Holy Ghost and you still be lost.
Yes.
By the same token, if you read Ezekiel, you find out that the mother and father may never be saved. And sometimes the children aren't. I've known people who didn't grow up in church, and the first time they came to church was when we were grown, and they came for whatever reason. That doesn't stop them either. The grace of God is there.
There, yes.
His mercy and his grace was such, as it says not only in Ephesians, but it also says in Romans, when we were enemies of God,
yes.
God favored us. When we were not on the same side, enemies meaning we weren't battling God directly, but we weren't on God's side.
Yes.
We didn't agree with God. We found no need for him. I want to look at Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want everybody to turn there. Let's read something. And I'm going to probably read it in, Romans chapter 1. Look at something for a moment. And about verse number 21, I'm sorry. Verse number 21. If I can get to the right channel, chapter myself. Starting at 19. 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, for everybody who will obey God. Eventually they're going to know the wrath of God. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let's talk about the people. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This is all the way back in time when God first made man and walked the earth. There was a time when God walked the earth a lot.
Yeah.
Walked the earth a lot. It came to be after a while that when people would see God as in his deified body, they wouldn't glorify God. They wouldn't have anything to do with God. And when God was moving, they would say that it was by something else or by someone else. It's like when God moves for us and we attribute it to anything else other than God.
Yes.
And I don't understand how anybody can contribute the life that's in this body to anybody other than God. It's difficult to do. You really got to work at not believing God is the one sustaining us. But in time, they started allotting it, God's power out to other things. This is where idolatry comes in. Because then they started worshiping other things in the place of God. And they started, and you know, and the devil, since he's a liar and the father of it, instead of saying that God has been good to me, they would say, you know, well, you know, I live a good life. Just lucky, I guess. Just my destiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fate.
Destiny,
I hear people talk a lot about their destiny.
Yes.
I'm put destiny to rest right now. You're only destined. You can do whatever you want in the earth, obey God or not obey God.
Yes.
But your destiny is one of two places.
Places, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
You do whatever you want in between.
Yes.
But your destiny, if you really want to know, is one of
two places.
There is no third. It's one of two places. So people always say, my destiny. Well, okay, let's just say your temporary destiny when you're talking about earth.
Yes.
So he says in this is how we got off talking about Satan being the ruler of this world, the god of this world. People gave him that power.
Yes.
People gave him
that power.
So what do you mean people gave the devil that power? Because when God cast Satan down, Satan had no power over the people on earth.
Yeah.
They raised him up to be where he is. They put him in the position whereby they would be under his thumb and under his rule. People did that.
Yes.
Sometimes, if we're not careful, I pastor this church. I haven't always. This congregation has been larger at times, and you have to be careful because when people are blessed and people enjoy the word, they will encourage you and they'll say, "You pastor, I really enjoyed that today, and that was really good." Then it's up to me to make sure that I don't allow that to cause me to rise up and get exalted in some place where I no longer are usable by God.
Yes.
It's not the people's fault because preachers and pastors and all of them are overthrown or get exalted or whatever. That's their fault.
Yes.
God puts you in this position. And if God will have brother so and so, sister so and so come up and tell you they enjoyed you, that's to encourage you so you keep on going. Yeah. It doesn't raise you to God-like status.
No, it doesn't. No.
If anything, you should go back and you know, and thank God. Lord, I thank you so much because they received the word of God today. Matter of fact, I usually don't even know what to say. I say, well, just glory to God, because I know if you got anything, it didn't come from me.
Yes.
You know, it came from, if you got anything. Now, you might have heard a lot.
Yes.
And you might have really been, and if we're good speakers, and I'm a pretty good speaker, you could be very entertained. That's not what that's not what we're really here for.
No.
You need to get something from God. You need to get from God what I got from God, which is life.
Yes.
So when we look at the people that Paul's referring to, Satan being the god of this world, Adam allowed, he allowed Satan to come into the garden. He had the power to keep him out.
Yes.
We allow Satan to really rule our lives and to do what he does in our lives because since the resurrection, we have the power to keep him out.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. The Holy Ghost gives us the power to keep him out.
Gives us the power.
So at the time when they saw God, and someone would say, well, why don't we see God and do a lot of those things today? Let's look at the world at that time. One, there wasn't a whole lot of people. And two, in order for them to believe God and trust God and the things that God needs them to do, if you're going to be someone like Moses and you're going to be the pastor for 6 million people, yeah, you need to part of the Red Sea.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, yeah. You do. If you're going to get these people who've been in rebellion for the last 270 years to obey God, you're going to need some miracle-working power.
Yes.
Because in 270 years, they've been down in Egypt. They've heard about every God there is.
Yes.
Except the true God. And if you're going to lead them to what God has them to do, you're going to need great power. I need more power in here.
Yes.
But I don't need the power to part the Red Sea like Moses did because my task is not as great.
Yes.
If you're going to get the job that Paul had, you're going to need to see Jesus one-on-one.
Yes.
If you're going to do what Moses did, you're going to need to see a burning bush.
Yes.
And I'm not discounting miracles because I'm a miracle-believing, praying person. But I'm telling you, in these days when they stopped in Romans, the first chapter, when they stopped obeying God and seeing God as God, they were seeing God face to face, and they still were not glorifying God. They were choosing sisters. Yeah, I mean, they were choosing other things over God. We do it now.
Yes, yes.
And this is when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. He, as we use the term, rubs their face in it. I don't know if that's a nice term or not. But anyway, Peter makes this point. He says that when they ask him about Christ, he says, this is the one, he says, but you chose a murderer over the Holy One.
Yes.
He says, you have a choice. You could have chose God. You could have chose Jesus, but you
didn't.
Listen, why read the Word of God if you're... I don't like people preaching to me who read the Word of God and don't see themselves.
Yes.
Right.
If you're gonna tell me about God, you need to be able to see God for you first.
Yes.
The word that comes out of me is in me before it comes to you.
Yes.
If I'm gonna give you a word, my word that I give you needs to fit me first.
Yes.
You know, in some regard. So you know when they start having all these different gods, the first person to fall into idolatry is who? Who knows? The first person in idolatry.
Cain.
First person in idolatry is Cain. He decides what sacrifice he's going to bring other than what God wanted. He comes wrong. He's excused to a great degree because there's no law written. And this conscience, remember I talked about this conscience earlier that we have, the conscience that we have? It has, there are three things in the conscience. It's communion, intuition, and what's the other one?
Intuition and
No, I didn't say that right. Communion, intuition, and I'll tell you another one in a minute. But the conscience has a responsibility for saying to me when it is right, what is right and wrong before God.
Yes.
Tells me what is right and wrong before God. Since sin, my corrupt, it's like having in a computer like a corrupt file. Since being born in sin, my conscience is corrupted.
Yes.
To the point whereby it will accept some things that God will not accept. That's how we stay in sin.
Yes.
It's how we continue in sin because our conscience is supposed to say to us, God working through our conscience is supposed to say to us, don't do that. And he's, yes. And he sometimes, you hear him saying, don't do that, but you do it anyway.
Yes.
So when we come to God, we find out in Hebrews, one of the first things he does when he saves us is he purges our conscience from dead words.
Yes.
He stops us from justifying things that are not right.
Yes.
So that we can serve the living God. This is what he has to do. So by the time God is walking the earth, their conscience has been corrupted. They are no longer able to judge what is right and wrong. We decide what's right and wrong in America according to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court almost has a bad name, doesn't it? Who made them supreme?
Right.
The Supreme Court.
Yes.
Okay. Highest law in the land. And they you have a whole library of Congress dedicated to trying to interpret the law.
Yes.
Simply because something becomes law does not mean that it is right before
God.
That's
right.
You're never going to have, God is never going to, you're never going to have God okay same-sex marriage.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
And when it comes to people, I'll tell you where I stand. I don't think anybody needs to be mistreated. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
I don't care what their walk in life is. I don't think they need to be I think they need to be treated civilly.
Yes.
But because I treat you civilly, I think you deserve to have a job. I think you deserve to work. I think you deserve those things because you have to live and you belong to God.
Yes.
You might not be saved and you might not be on your way to heaven, but you all belong to God.
Yes.
And if you will turn and come to Him, He will receive
you. Yes.
But at the same time I say that, simply because I don't think you need to be mistreated and I think we need to be fair, it doesn't mean I go along with what you do.
No, that's right.
And I can say that and be like God. You know why? Because all the people who walk around in sin this morning, God doesn't go along with them being ungodly, but they're still living.
Yes.
And God is still allowing them to live.
Yes.
And so, well, why does He allow that? He's giving them time.
Yes.
And here again is the grace of God. But don't simply assert that since God hasn't struck me down by lightning or struck you down by lightning, yet that God goes along with what you're doing.
Yes.
Don't ever make that mistake.
Yes.
His grace and His mercy are there for you. So it says in this, in the time when God was walking the earth, He says the people stopped receiving Him as God. And we do the same today in all the things that God does and how He saves and how He keeps us. I told you, I was driving home just last week, and I was going down Green Acres as dark as it is at night. And if anybody's ever driven at night, it's pitch black coming between McDonald's and the college.
Yeah.
And I left the light, and I looked down because my phone rung, and it rang, and I looked down to see who was calling me. And in that second, when I looked up, there was this woman and a child who was just stepping out. From in front of my car.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is the grace of God, an angel on their side and mine. Because, you know, and she's dressed in black.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him. I finally saw the kid's white shirt, I think he had on. And I said, you swerved around him. No, I didn't have time to swerve. They just stepped into the center lane just as I was going by. And I think they thought I saw them, but I did not. You know, that's God. I wouldn't want that to happen.
No, that's right. Yes.
You know, and God knew that I would. Since I'm somebody in God and I'm concerned about people, He knew that I would just walk off and just, you know, just say, well, they were in the street. They were in the street. But you know, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And God takes care of me, so He moved them.
Yes.
You know, and He changed them. So. The grace of the how the Lord watches over and keeps us. So when that happened, the first thing I said was thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank you.
That's right.
You know, not how, you know, somebody would have, they said, well, what would most people, what would a lot of people done? A lot of people would have blew their horn, passed by and gave, flashed them a little finger thing, did a whole lot of stuff, cussed them out for being in the street and going on about it. Only thing my mind is I'm glad this didn't happen. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, the Lord's moving. And I wasn't the one in particular danger. They were.
Yeah.
But I'm glad God didn't let it happen to them.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So when people, even during, you want to know how people get so far off, when God moves the people, they won't glorify
God.
God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the devil will hem you up and lock you up so bad. I know, because I've been there. When I first got saved and came back and I was 31, I was in South Dakota. For a long time, when the Lord first saved me, I grew up in church, but I had been gone for 16 years. And when the Lord first saved me, I was in the Faith Temple Church of God Christ. And the saints would lift their hands, they would clap, they'd just do all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And even when I was enjoying the joy of the Lord, I would say, I want to lift my hands. And the devil would say to me, you don't deserve to lift your hands.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you just came out of sin. You don't deserve to lift your hands. You'll be fake. You know, you won't be real. These people are real. It took a while for the Lord, for the Holy Ghost to really get that out of me.
Yes.
So that I had the liberty to just, you know, wave my hand and say whatever's on, you know, and, you know, glorify God, you know, openly. And then for a while I did a battle with singing. I know I'm not a singer like Evangelist Watson. I understand that, like Sean. But I, you know, and I would get ready to sing along, and then and the devil would say to me, well, if you sing, Paul's going to laugh at you. And, you know, and
that's, he doesn't care how he comes.
Yes, that's right.
As long as he can stop you.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, hey, my walk in God, you know, it's not been a cakewalk. I just kind of, you know, the Lord's been keeping
me. Yeah.
So he says in this down in 23. He says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. The more a man's imagination got into trying to decide what God was like, their artistic mind kicked in and they made God be some of everything.
Yeah.
Half cow, half elephant, half, you know. Yeah. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between them. And then he brings in homosexuality, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want to get down to verse number, verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or which was fit. People started doing all sorts of things. Started doing all sorts of things. And here we see the first thing he talks about is homosexuality. But his point is because they left God, they felt it was all right to do that. Remember when God put Adam and Eve in the garden?
Yes.
And he told them they were supposed to go and multiply? Well, the devil doesn't want people to multiply because the people will obey God. And one of the fastest ways to keep people from populating and multiplying is to cause them to fall in love with each other.
Yes, yes.
You'll stop the whole series of God if everybody becomes that. And someone will say, well, are you a homophobe? Do you hate them? No, I don't.
Come on, man, God.
Yes.
And when I really talked about it,
that's right.
And we're kind of unfair in one degree, because when it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter whether you're homosexual or whether you're just living with somebody you're not married to, you're still going to hell.
Yes, yes. That's right.
Same you thing. Are, because and someone would say, well, why would God have a problem with that? God, you know, I need to come here one day and just talk about that. The lack of the commitment that people have in marriage so that they live together creates all kinds of havoc. You see, I can talk about it because I'm born out of wedlock. My father I've never met, so I don't worry about it. You know, so you know, you need to talk about what you know. I am talking about what I know.
Yes.
It caused my family to have secrets until my mother died in 2007.
Yes.
And how old was I then? 56.
Yeah.
I was 56. And I have a whole family of sisters and brothers that we're sitting with. My younger sister gets angry now because she feels like she was so betrayed, because she said she was sitting with the family and everybody knew that me and Donald were her brother and sister, and she didn't know, and her mother never, and our mother never told her. And just went on, created a whole other family.
Yes.
And just so much chaos that doesn't have to be there. Now, you say, well, do you blame her for it? Do you hate her for it? No, I spent all my years, once I found out where she was, trying to get her to love me and understand that I was good and get her to be happy. But she never got over it.
Yes.
You know, she never, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
She never got around it. And there's so many other things. I look at all the different things that come in. You could just go on and on and on and on and on. That could all be fixed if people would just do what the Lord says do, and let two people become one flesh and go in God. And,
yes.
And then you say, well, it doesn't always work out. No, it doesn't always work out. And that's true. And I understand that too. Sometimes you might have a marriage that doesn't work out, and then you have to go back and say, you know what, Lord, this didn't work. And ask God to, you know, cleanse you and wipe you and go again. I get it.
Yes.
God can fix everything
yes.
if you'll go to God.
Yes.
But the point I'm making is how sometimes we like to point out some sins that we don't like and vilify everybody in those,
right.
while we'll sit up and allow people to do other things that we won't say one word.
That's right.
You'll have people sitting in churches, deacon so-and-so and missionary so-and-so. Everybody in church know they're living together. I had a couple in here that I really liked. Oh, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago now. More than that. And I really liked them. They were coming. And I said to them one time, I'm not one of these drum beaters. Y'all need to get married. But I did say to them, well, I do weddings. And we kept going. And eventually the word brought them to the point where they needed to make a choice. Because God always brings you to a choice. God never... drags you into anything. He just brings you to where you need to make a choice. And even when we read in Romans, these people were making a choice. And when we read in Ephesians and Paul talk about them coming out, they've made a choice. And, you know, I really liked them, but then they just stopped. And it wasn't because I told them, if y'all don't get married, you can't come up in here. Never. You can come and sit in here as long as you will hear the word of God. Come as you are.
Yes.
And let the word of God wash your cleanse. I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. I don't deserve to embarrass anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
You have enough things about me.
Yes.
Thank the glory to God. I'm clean now.
Yes.
But it ain't always been so. So I know not to, you know, embarrass anybody.
Yes.
Wish they had kept coming, but then they just stopped. So I don't know where they are today, what they do. But I wish they'd allow the Lord to work some things out, because they've been together for a while. So, you know, What's the hard part? But he says to them in 28, and I'm almost finished. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate man to do those things which are unseemly, which are not convenient, which are not good. Since they didn't want to obey God or keep God in their knowledge, and then it goes through this long list of things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. That means that when I say to you, I'm sorry, you don't even want to receive that. When I try to apologize to you, you won't even let me. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do you do these things, whisperers, gossip people, backbiters, you know, malignity. That's for all the cynical people who never have a nice word to say.
Yes.
You say good morning to them and they say, why are you speaking to me today? You didn't speak to me yesterday.
Yes.
You know, all these things. Now, so, well, Pastor, why are you reading all those? Because any one of these things and all these things carry the same weight in God.
Yes.
We like to point out what things we don't like. People like to preach about drunkenness.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what drunkenness is. Been drunk enough times to write you a book on it. know all the residuals of it. But, you know, if you're going to... Don't sit up and preach to me about drunkenness and you're the biggest gossip in town.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, the Bible doesn't prohibit me from judging. It prohibits me from making judgments and doing the same thing.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
Yeah, thou art in the shoes of old man that judgeth, and thou judgest another, and thou doest the
same thing. Yes,
because when I do that, that means I know better.
Yes.
I can't tell you you're wrong unless I know better. Then I have no business doing it.
Yes.
Now let's go back to Ephesians. So when he talks about them, and we said all that, and I think that's good. We talk about that in Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 3. When he says, among whom you had your conversation in times past, or your life in times past, your manner of living in times past. This is what you were. And he reminds them that you haven't always been here. We're glad about it. We're glad you're where you are. But there was a time when you weren't like this. And he says, and when you were before the Lord saved you, the person who was really over your life was the God of this world, or was Satan. But God, because of his grace, and it's so important that we understand the grace of God being God's, as we say, unmerited favor or undeserved. God decides to do it. What is my manner of grace? What is my manner of grace towards my kids? My manner of grace towards my kids is that they have 5 different boxes of cereal sitting in the cabinet at one time all open. That I taught them to want gifts for Christmas. You know, not necessary. I taught them to do that.
Yeah.
All the things that we have given them during the years that really didn't have anything to do with their being alive and out of being fed our grace.
Yes.
It isn't that they deserve it. I deserve to have a great Christmas because, no, you don't ever deserve to have one. We give you one.
Yes.
You don't ever deserve all this. Now, a lot of things are my responsibility, just like God's. God, just like God's responsibility, God created me, so God gives me life, sustains me, he keeps me in health and strength, and God accepts this responsibility even among the people who won't serve him.
Yes,
he sustains them.
Yes,
and then God's grace and his mercy is such that not only has God created me and given me life, but he has also given me eternal life if I will come to him.
Yes,
this is the grace of God. Not only will he give me eternal life, but he'll set me free from the bondage and the ravages of this life.
Yes.
And the grace of God, just being beyond Satan's power, it doesn't stop Satan from trying to do things to us.
Yes.
And oftentimes, I mean, he throws snares and does all kinds of things.
Yes.
But the Lord is a deliverer.
Deliverer, yes.
Amen.
That's why why David said, I will not fear what men may do. The Lord is on my side.
Yes.
So Paul writes to them, and he says to them in this, let me look at, I have it, okay. Read it in another version. Yeah, there you go. 3. But God, who is rich in mercy, and he loved us, that even when we were dead in our sins, gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you are saved. But he has raised us up from the dead in 6 along with Christ, and seated us with him in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. So for God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has quickened us or given us life together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And when he says this, this is our life being given because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Know ye not, he says in Romans, that all of us who are in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death.
Yeah, yeah.
We become partakers of his death. Death being, again, I should have pulled the board out. Death being a separation. We're partakers of his death. Death in that regard is a finality, and the reason why it is so significant that when we come to Christ we die with him is because it's supposed to be it is something that you leave that you never go back to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a part of you that's spinal that you never go back. And all of us who are in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a death that we have experienced.
Yes.
I'll tell you mine. I've got about, am I long? Oh, I'm long. It's time to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you mine. I remember when Ellen's been telling me, she says, you know, you keep drinking, look, I'm going to tell the pastor. I said, well, I can't drink no more. You know, Sister Sturgeon, she got to think about it. Now, somebody said, well, she couldn't say she'd tell God. Well, you know, We tell God a lot of things, but people are real to us.
Yes.
You know, drink, I'm a televangelist. And I said to myself, you know what? She's right. Can't drink anymore. Got to get that up. And all day long I thought to myself, because I had always mitigated and told myself that there was nothing wrong with taking a drink because all my uncles drink and all of them are deacons and they're in churches and everything else and everything. Never mind the destructive power of it. It's not this, God doesn't ever ask you to give up anything that's not destroying you.
That's right.
If God says that you don't have, you should have it. It is destroying
you.
If not today, at some point in time.
Yeah.
And it is enough to try to bring the mind in and the soul in and keep it, you know, living straight and in God. Anytime you introduce any sort of drug to the mind, you lose some of its control.
Oh, yes.
That's why I come in here and I'll preach with a headache rather than take something. Because I don't want any. I'm working hard enough to try and obey the Spirit. I don't need anything loose.
Yes.
So that God isn't just I don't want anybody drinking. No, what he's saying is when you do this, and that's why Nadab and Abihu died. He's saying to you, you lose some of the control that you should have of your mind, instead of your pure mind.
Right. Yes.
And this is why you have so many crimes and people would say, well, I was drunk at the time. I didn't know what I was doing and all. You should have known what you were doing. And the God of this world loves to get you in that
position. Yes.
Then he can feed things into your mind, right?
Yes.
You know, when I was...
Influence
you. Yeah. Yes. You know, when I was... You know, and you get smart about it. When I was in the clubs, you sit there, you know, and I'm throwing liquor back straight, and everybody's saying, you're going to be drunk. No, I know how it works.
Yeah.
And the women, you know, you talking to the ladies and all this, and they're drinking all these sweet drinks, and I know the sugar fortifies.
Yeah.
So you buy them a sweet drink because they're going to get drunk before you do. Because it's sweet.
Yeah.
And besides all that, I also know that when you, listen, I don't just preach stuff off the top of my head. When you drink liquor, you know, for people who drink it, you drink straight liquor, you're not going to get drunk as quick. So you're not, why not? Because the body, the alcohol, the blood can't absorb it.
Yeah.
Like it can when you put water in it, thin it down.
Mm-hmm.
More of it goes into the system. I'm drinking all night, but I'm steadily running to the bathroom and getting rid of mine.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
So who knows about all this because he created alcohol?
The devil does.
Yes.
The devil does. So everybody wants to make it seem like, y'all in this church, you can't do nothing. The Lord doesn't want me to do anything that destroys me.
Yes.
Know ye not that your body is a temple for the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Whose temple you are?
Yes.
That's where that is.
Yes.
We belong there. And I'm aging at the same age, at the same rate you're aging.
Yes.
And at some point in time, I'm going to be like Eliashib if Jesus doesn't come. And the issue of where I'm going to spend eternity will be resolved.
Yes.
That is something you have to make up your mind about.
Yes.
So when Paul talks about this, about us being under the God of this world, God, then he goes on to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and talks about the devil is very smart. And he's been around for ages and ages, and he knows how to counter everything God would say. And then all of us who are parents, good parents, if you're good parents, all parents aren't great parents, but if you're good parents, you know what it's like when kids get old enough to decide they want to have their own mind.
Yes.
And they want to go their own way, they want to do their own thing. Oh, they have respect for you, and many things they won't do out of respect for you, and many things they do that you'll never know about, and I don't ever want to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad that whatever, you know, But the reality is we're the same way with God.
Yes.
And there's always some influence to say, to do something that you know you have no business doing.
Yes.
Without exception.
Yes.
Because the God of this world is indeed the God of this world.
Oh, yes.
And has led us through many things. So he says that when he talks to us, by grace are ye saved.
Yes.
By grace are ye saved because of the goodness of God.
Yes.
The move of God.
Yes.
God's willingness for us not to perish. God's willingness for us to have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to stop there for the day, and I'll pick this up Tuesday night. Let me pray, because I've gone over my time by 10 minutes now. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, Lord, you bless the saints of God today. And Lord, let the word of God go deep into their hearts and hide it in their hearts, oh Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would live thereby. Lord, bless the Master family today and keep them, oh God. Lord, lift them up, Lord, as you are able to do. Lord, you're the God of all comfort. And I pray, Lord, you just keep them. Lord, heal the sick today. Remember all those on our prayer list, Lord. Lord, raise them up. Give them perfect soundness. Bless all the saints of God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's take about 5 minutes and we'll come back and have a few worship and praise songs.